Sourcing for innovation, making sense of the rapidly changing worlds of artificial intelligence, workforce development, and digital transformation.
Sourcing for innovation, episode 26. My name is Adam Curtis, joined today by CEO of Catalyte, Matt Durella. Matt, afternoon.
Good afternoon, Adam.
We are recording this just before the Thanksgiving break. Last week, we celebrated National Apprenticeship Week, and you posted something on LinkedIn that I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into. You encouraged, let's say, the people who have not yet started an apprenticeship, but who are doing internship programs to try apprenticeships too. You said, you know, with a good partner, you'll get access to new talent, better productivity, better retention, and ultimately better serve your customers. So I wanted to take time to see what the overlap, what the similarities between apprenticeships and internships are. And starting from the way you phrase that, are apprenticeships a replacement for internships? Are they a complement? Is this an and or an or situation when it comes to the two ways in which to find new talent?
Thanks, Adam, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone celebrating this week. Listen, if you're running a modern organization today and you're got talent and workforce as a top three sort of strategy for your company, and you're not doing apprenticeships, you're doing it wrong. The opportunity for organizations to build on their internship programs and expand them into apprenticeships is a step that's not hard to do, and I think will provide an expansive improvement in the amount of talent, the diversity of that talent, the productivity of that talent within their organization. So to break it down, just about every mid-market or large organization has some type of internship. And those of us who have worked in those kinds of companies knows how that works. It's quite expensive to run. You have to go to the universities. You have human beings that are getting on planes that are recruiting. You're recruiting against larger, maybe better known competitors. And oftentimes there's some level of bias that just goes into the selection process and what universities you are choosing. And then when you actually get the people through the funnel, it's not always easy for the managers that take on these interns. The interns, not their fault, but the way the academic institutions are built today, oftentimes they don't lack, call it the relevant technical skills to be immediately day one successful in the role. And so that ends up falling upon managers in many ways. And I think that's part of the reason why many managers sort of express frustration with how internship programs are operated. But in the end, most of the data from the US at least would point to about 70% of all those interns actually getting converted to full-time.
That sounds pretty good, right?
Right. I mean, it's definitely better than random. And, and I think that's wonderful to hear that, you know, you can make that investment. The average investment for an internship, like all in, is probably around $21,000. I've seen that quoted. That doesn't include, you know, all the additional sort of time for the manager and training and things like that. And now I'm just going to like sort of contrast that with an apprenticeship, right?
Before you do that, one more thing, the timeline we're talking about here, because you mentioned the recruitment, the going to colleges, the everything else. What I saw for there is, you know, about 8 months in advance of actually bringing somebody in, which seems to be even longer than filling a regular open position within your company. So you're expending more time to get someone in at a lower level than you would be to just go out and do a market hire. Am I reading that right?
I think that's right. And you just got that sort of weird thing with timing wise, you know, it's like it's going to have to align around probably that May, June timeframe. That's when people are typically graduating. And, you know, whether that's a big need for your organization or not, there's oftentimes like you don't feel like it's an ideal time to maybe do a big intake. So there's a lot of tension that goes out. It's just not as flexible just because of the way the school years sort of line up.
So the business is working 12 months out of the year, but your recruitment is based on 2 months out of the year, really bring them in May and then maybe offer them something in August or September.
That's right. And internships remind me of like Christmas tree salespeople, right? It's like once a year, like we take them all in and here we go. And I don't mean to make fun of it. It really does work. There are certainly, it's a proven way to go about it. What I would say is why I think you're doing it wrong for not doing apprenticeships, when you actually understand how an apprenticeship works when you let go of the whatever stigma or idea that you have about what an apprenticeship is. You know, this is a model that will expand the amount of talent that you have access to in a really flexible way that will help you identify people that are ready on day one. That'll do it in a way that's as cost efficient or more cost efficient than your internships. I suspect in many cases will drive up your diversity in a systemic way, like not just like one university that happens to be delivering diversity to you. Like this is a way to do it in an ongoing way. And ultimately, it's a business opportunity because 90%, I can only speak for our organization, 90% of the apprentices whom show up for their role end up converting to full time. So again, 70% is nothing to sneeze at. 90% is a lot better than 70%, where it's also tuned very specifically to the, you know, the needs of your organization. I think it becomes a really nice complement. And what I noticed with the big customers we work with, many of them Fortune 1000 companies, what began as a smaller complement to internships has now become something that is equal to or greater than. And it's all based on the data. You know, how well are we converting these people? Well, we're converting them better. How much does it cost to get these folks in the door? It costs less. How much retention improvements are we seeing? They retain better. You know, when all of those data patterns are, you know, showing you those positive signs, it gives you great confidence that you can do more here. And for those of you who aren't doing it, like it is relatively easy to start. There's any number of great partners out there. Partners like Catalyte, but I'm happy to talk about others too. But I've seen organizations like Year Up and you know, others that are doing this kind of work at some kind of scale. And I think that you should absolutely check it out because I think you're going to find that you're going to have the opportunity to not only just go to the universities, but you also go into other communities. There's so many amazing people that I've been exposed to who, you know, for one reason or another, maybe went to college. Maybe they didn't have the network to get into an organization like yours. Maybe life took them in a slightly different way and they've been doing another job. Maybe they took care of their family and they're returning to the workforce. These are people that are basically ignored by internships. And they have some of the highest quality talent and determination and grit to be wildly successful inside your organization with literally just some good old-fashioned training and access to the opportunity. And I think what's so wonderful about the apprenticeship for, you know, America, I think it just very much lines up with the values of our country, which is, you know, giving opportunity, right? Not just because of where you came from or who you know, but because you have some innate ability and some determination to see things through. And those folks should get an opportunity to succeed and have access to these unbelievable 21st century jobs that so many of us, you know, just because of where the zip code we were born into or the university we attended, have a much greater chance of joining. And that's, I will say I'm mortally opposed to the idea that some people are not allowed into those jobs, not only because it just isn't fair, but because it's bad business. And if we could just tap into, you know, the amazing talent that is out there that may not be eligible for your university internship, I think if you were to put your apprentices through an organization like Catalyte head to head with the internships, I think the apprenticeships are going to win on metrics like conversion, on retention, and on productivity.
Yeah, and talking about just simply those numbers, it's about, you know, a third of the adult population in the U.S. has a four-year degree. So you have to assume a few more percentages are people in college eligible for that. But the number that stuck out for me in doing a little bit of research here is that each year about 300,000 people intern in the United States, and there are about 600,000 active apprentices. So actually more apprentices than interns. However, I would expect if we could dig into some stats behind that, most of those apprentices are in what people would consider to be quote unquote traditional trades, plumbers, steam fitters, carpenters, et cetera. So maybe it's getting the idea of apprenticeships and apprentices a little bit more into quote unquote new collar or new trades as we do in sort of software development or digital media. Is that where some of the resistance do you think lies, where we see the numbers be a lot lower than internships in those same fields or professions?
1,000%. And the average person today still thinks of apprenticeships as some of the vocational trades, which is, by the way, wonderful, and we need them, and we need more of them, and we definitely need more women in some of those positions, but that's for another podcast. This one, I would just say, you know, we focus on software engineering, cybersecurity, digital media. These are areas that are not, in America at least, you know, something that you would think of when you think about an apprenticeship. And I think part of the work that, you know, we have these conversations to help inform people is like, there are new ways for people to potentially move into your organization. And with the cost of university being what it is, the amount of debt that comes with going to a four-year school for a lot of people, it just can't be the only way in to these great jobs. And I think the employers, really, it's on the employer to just understand how much talent is out there that they are otherwise missing out on, and that their competitors are, if they're doing an apprenticeship program, are taking advantage of with great success. But it absolutely, we have to change a little bit of the concepts that come with apprenticeships here in the U.S. I mean, Ben Franklin, you know, he was an apprentice, and this man is one of the great American forefathers, right? He did that in bookmaking and publishing. But today, you know, we have people coming through our program who were former teachers or former nurses or used to work at the produce function at a Whole Foods. And now they're software engineers and they're data analysts and they're doing project management and scrum masters. And they're moving from making, you know, oftentimes less than $30,000 a year into almost $100,000 a year within 5 working years. So they're going through a complete transformation of their lives. Their communities are benefiting from that. But, you know, for me, it does start with the employer. The employer is the one who's really benefiting because they're getting access to talent that otherwise, you know, they would have gotten, and talent that has skills that can be used immediately to make their business better. Because I know we have a labor shortage. It's sort of different for different industries, but something that is going to be persistent for, in my mind, the next decade, guaranteed, is the skills scarcity. There's just too much change coming at us that if you're not able to hire people that are able to learn and adapt, you're hiring the wrong people. You're hiring people that won't be successful in the long term. And I think one of the great things about apprenticeships, you often get people who that's what they do. That is their ultimate strength, determination, and be able to learn new things and stick with it. And I think that that's why so many of our customers return to us and expand with us because of that success they see.
You mentioned to start off this conversation, you know, most companies are running an internship program. And you also mentioned partnering with an organization to start an apprenticeship. That outsourcing of that very essential sort of entry-level talent identification seems to me to be perhaps a little scary or maybe a bridge too far. Why is the outsource piece here important, and why should people embrace it? Or can you say to people, you know what, here's a blueprint, go and start your apprenticeship itself? Is that too much of a lift for most organizations to go about doing?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on the organization and sort of what you want to be great at. You know, I think there is oftentimes benefit when you partner with someone who this is all they do. There's certainly, you know, efficiencies that come with that because we have built teams and functions and have learning that we've, you know, learned over decades and incorporated into the design of how we program that I think just frankly makes it much more successful and probably lower cost than if you were to go ahead and build it internally. But if it's something that you really just want to be great at, I think we'd be a great partner to talk to because we want this to become something that is completely normalized in every single Fortune 5000 company. Like, it's ridiculous that it isn't at this point. I would say for us in particular, you know, Catalyte, the reason that companies like Microsoft and companies like Koch Industries and, you know, literally hundreds of others choose us is because we've had a demonstrated success in being able to find, train, and deploy a really successful talent in those organizations. And that comes back to, you know, the core differentiator for us is our technology. You know, we have a technology that allows us to go into communities, have people take an assessment that, you know, gives us very good signal, highly predictive signal on whether someone's going to be a high performer in an organization. And that's sort of the starting off point for the apprenticeship journey for us. And that ability to go into very expansive pools of talent, you know, maybe not even talent pools, talent oceans, let's call them. And then really find people that are likely to be high performers, not just getting by, but people who are going to really succeed and thrive in your organization. And then just, you know, a world-class or training organization that will train the people to the customer's needs. You know, unlike some academic institutions that I think are a little bit, think about academic things, we think about business roles, capabilities, competencies. What are the measurements that you're going to be looking for? And then we build the curriculum to meet those, which I think is sort of the opposite end where many of the other classic universities would approach preparing someone for their first job.
Yeah, internship seems to be a much more a direct one-to-one that you are studying business, you get an internship at a finance company. You're studying biomedical science, you go get an internship at Merck. You're studying your software development, you go to Google or Facebook or something like that. So you're taking people based on what they have decided to do, not necessarily what they are good at or where their skills point them in a direction that could help the company.
100%, Adam. And I think about, you know, the amount of money that people, organizations spend on compensation and benefits. You know, in almost all cases, it's a top one, two, or three line item, right? I was talking to an organization that has 125,000 employees, and their compensation benefits is over $20 billion. And you think about how little data and technology is applied to that number. It's really quite an opportunity to start thinking about how can we use the right technology to find the right people, to prepare them for the right job. And like, just ask yourself, like, what would happen if, you know, you had a group of talented people on a regular basis coming in that are all high performers? How might that change the way you operate? How would it change the way your confidence in your company's ability to reach its objectives and to serve your customers more competitively than your the people that you're up against in the market? So that's what we're talking about. This is, it's talent, but really what we're talking about is how can we help make organizations more competitive so that they can better serve their customers?
The competitive nature of it, I think, is also very important now that we've gone to a, you know, remote work or a hybrid work situation where geography is not necessarily a constraint. Internships have sort of fallen off the cliff during the pandemic because most of them were in office, in person, a chance for them to sort of interns to network and managers to evaluate personally, one-on-one, seeing them at the desk each day. Do apprenticeships have an added benefit, as you mentioned, of sort of baked in some initial quality where that intensive one-on-one having to sit and watch someone at a desk all day isn't as necessary? Or do those things still apply and you want some sort of flexibility on either geography or being in office so you can help advance the apprentice on their own skills and career journey?
Yeah, it's I think it's a very sort of company specific what your point of view is on the working remote versus working in the office. But I can say this, a surprise for me is that the conversion rates on our apprentices has remained at or above 90% through COVID. And that was something I wouldn't have predicted. I would have predicted that we would have seen a dip in that conversion rate because, you know, it's just harder to connect. And so when I dig in with customers about why that is, I guess what I'm learning about the way we do it, which is, again, really focused on the customer need and their specific technologies that they're working in, is that the people that we're graduating from our program, no matter where they live, are incredibly adept at actually coming in and being day one ready. And that is just a very different proposition than an internship where, frankly, you know, people are probably coming with some really generalized skills, but having to really learn the culture, learn the systems. You know,
it's not really the expectation of the internship either. Like that is the internship portion is to vet. Apprenticeship is to advance.
Exactly right. No, that's exactly right. It's a very different mindset. It's a very different system. And, you know, you don't have that sort of 3 month sprint and then the people go away and then maybe you get them next year. You know, this is an ongoing connection point with, you know, probably 90% or higher likelihood that this person is going to be joining you full time on your team. So the investment and the way that that connection sort of forms and continues. And by the way, you know, firms like ours take a lot of pride in the fact that we are we're there every step of the way, and you know, helping the take any helping the manager to be most successful, helping the apprentice be successful, like just making this a really powerful, positive experience. I think also helps us overcome any challenges that might show up, and opens up the opportunity now for those who are open-minded, you know, to probably tap into talent, you know, from all parts of the world.
But we are sitting here a year from now, just about ready to celebrate Thanksgiving 2024. We just celebrated National Apprenticeship Week 2024. You had posted something to LinkedIn in the future about apprenticeships and internships. What would you want it to read next year?
You know, 100% of the Fortune 5000 companies have embraced apprenticeships in the broadest sense. And apprenticeships are well understood to be a perfect complement to an internship program for the new collar jobs, you know, 21st century jobs that require technical skilling. And that we're seeing a really powerful economic impact in the people and the communities, because they are having access and into these jobs, into the economic mobility that comes with these jobs. And the companies that are fully embracing these are, you know, frankly, enjoying really great returns that can show up in their customer feedback and ultimately in their stock price at their public company. So, you know, it's all about adoption and changing the way people think about these apprenticeships versus internships, and making sure that if you have an internship program, you got an apprentice program.
All right. Well, we'll see what the future may hold. Matt Durella, CEO of Catalyte, thank you so much and have a great, wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Adam. And thanks to all the listeners.